Our help comes from He who is even above the hills. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and worship Him. Fill the house with praise and worship. Hallelujah. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is made known in our worship and our praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11. Again, good to have each one here for the sake of your Father. Good to have all of our visitors. So glad that you're here. Glad for church folks being here every week. I truly believe that spiritual victory is found in faithfulness. Amen. And those of you that are here week after week, you know victory in your soul. I want to talk to our fathers today. You kind of would expect that on Father's Day, I guess. And just have a message I want to leave with you. And being one of you, I've got myself sat down there on that middle pew. So if you come up here, be careful, don't sit on me. But I'm right there. I'll be preaching on myself as well. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? I'm just going to use this passage of scripture as a brief illustration that kind of has in the nutshell the idea that I want to share this morning. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, beans. And the people fled from the Philistines. Almost all the people fled. Verse 12. But Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. He stood and defended it. That's what we need. We need fathers to stand and defend the family. Amen. And he slew the Philistines. And when the Lord saw the man standing and fighting, the Lord got involved and wrought a great victory. I want to preach this morning on to fathers, defenders of our castle. Defenders of our castle. Heavenly Father, help us shut up our hearts to truth. May this be a defining moment, Lord, for fathers either to be encouraged or to come to a place of commitment or recommitment. To be defenders of the home, the family, the marriage. Thank you, Lord, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Currently, our Sunday school class, the Young Married class, is doing a study on protecting the family. I began that series with this statement that I'm going to begin with today. The family is under attack. In the United States, the family is under attack. I want to tell you very simply, the reason the enemy attacks the family is because the family is special to God. The family is special to God. The family is vital to children and to raising children. The family is the building block and the very sustenance of a society. The family is the strength of the church. The family is the most successful tool in getting folks to heaven and keeping them out of hell. That's why the enemy attacks the family, and that's why we as men and fathers must defend the family. Can you say amen this morning? I could bore you with a long list of statistics, but just in brief, two of them. In current research, less than 48% of homes in America, some put it far lower than that, less than 48% of homes in America consist of what was one time called a family, being a husband, a wife, and children. Those only 48% would have any semblance to that. Less than 48% of Americans now say that a nuclear family of husband, wife, and children is unnecessary, is outmoded, is a thing of the past. We've lived in recent years when there's been an open challenge to the definition of marriage. I want you to know the challenge to the definition of marriage is a challenge to the definition of family. The family is under attack. I'm preaching this to say this: the most important role in the surviving and in the thriving of the family, the most important role is filled with the Father. Is filled with the Father. I want to be clear. I take nothing from, and I have nothing but admiration for the Christian single mothers who, against great adversity, care for their families, raise their family in serving God. I have admiration for them. But they are exceptions of determination and grace. By and large, overall, as a general rule, the family is the father is absolutely essential in the defense and in the protection of not only his family, but as the family institution itself. I'm telling you, Father, you have a vital role. If marriage is to survive in America, if the family is to survive in America, if children are going to be protected as they need to be protected, if children are going to be raised as they need to be raised, amen, it's going to take fathers stepping up and say, enough of this attack on the family. We've had enough. We're going to stand on this piece of ground. We're going to defend it, and believe in doing so, the Lord is going to give us victory in our homes. Can you say amen? In America, we've had years of liberal preaching in universities. We've had liberal ideas about the family in movies and in television. We've had it in pop music. We've had years of the philosophical bombardment of the skewed and contorted feminism that I believe has led to the emasculation of men. It's left men confused as to what is their role, confused to what their nature is, confused to what a man's purpose is in a society, in the family. Men are just confused by what our society teaches. I've had it again just recently. Opened a door for a woman and a place of business, and she looked at me like I was an idiot. I like the time the man opened the door for the woman steeped in feminism, and she looked at him and she said, "You don't have to open the door just because I'm a lady." He said, "Ma'am, I didn't open the door because you're a lady. I opened the door because I'm a gentleman." Hallelujah. We've had that feminism come and confuse men to what their role is. If a man exerts his rightful authority in the home, he's called a male chauvinist. If a man seeks to protect and guard and defend his family, he's arrogant. He's assuming his superiority over the female. If a man seeks to be resilient and strong and firm, he's called a brute beast, an animal. If a man is mannerly in assisting a woman, he's patronizing and condescending. And therefore, men in America have abdicated their role as protector. They've given up their role as defender, head of the home, and leader. They have forsaken their responsibility. And marriage and family and society has decayed because of it. I want you to know, marriage, the home, the wife, the children have been left wide open to the attack of Satan because men have not been men and stood their ground and said, "I will defend marriage. I will defend the family. I will defend children because God has called me. I'm not confused. I'm to be the head, the priest, the leader of this home. Let the world say what it was. Will, I've read the book and I know what God desires of me." Can you say amen? As the father is physiologically designed to be the physical protector of the family. I mean, by and large, men are taller, men are stronger, men have bigger muscles, by and large. Men are I'll just leave that alone. Men are physiologically designed to be the protector of the home. But I believe men are spiritually designed of God to be the spiritual protectors of their home. Can you hear me this morning? My wife, she likes to tell this. When we were dorm supervisor, we lived in the apartment. It had a metal door. Now, a lot of those metal doors, you can bow them. They can be locked, but if they get bowed just right, they'll pop open. And it was in the middle of the night, and as Sister Hurst tells this, the door blew wide open. We had a great gust of wind, and the front door, no screen door, no storm door, the front door just blew wide open. No entryway, no foyer, just right into the living room. Our little bedroom just right next door. The front door blew open. She says she woke me up and said, "Honey, the front door came open." And she says that I pushed her and said, "Well, get up and close it." The problem is, she thought she'd awakened me. I really wasn't awake. I don't remember saying that. You wouldn't either, man. I believe man is to be the protector of the home. Get out of bed, Dad, and shut the door. Amen. I believe the decline of our nation is directly, inseparably tied to the decline of the family. And I believe the decline of the family is inseparably tied to the decline of the father, men who refuse to take and assume personal responsibility for their wives and children. I want you to think with me. This is not political. The research is there. But we're having a national economic crisis, a debt crisis. How many knows that? We certainly are. You might not have heard much about it, but we are. But I want you to know, do you realize how much of that debt that we're going in every year can be directly tied to a man fathering children but not taking care of them? The estimate is that last year, 2010, $300 billion of our budget could be directly tied to males fathering children but not taking the responsibility for them. And that's a lot of money. I believe men have reneged on their responsibility. It's a dangerous thing. You see, Shammah was fighting over beans, but we're fighting over something more valuable than beans. We're fighting over the well-being, both physical, spiritual, emotional, the well-being of our children. We're fighting over the destiny of the eternal souls of those that come into existence, amen, because of our relationships. Listen, Father, it's important to know we're fighting over more. If beans are worth defending, certainly children are worth defending. Just a few statistics and we'll go on. Amen. Did you know that 1 in 3 children now in America are raised with no father? And again, I have admiration for Christian mothers that they take up the slack. But I want you to know 1 in 3 children are raised without a father. Did you know a child raised without a father is 5 times more likely to be raised in poverty? 125% of children raised without a father is the amount, 125% more likely to suffer abuse. 2 times as likely to drop out of school. You could go on and on about the young girls raised without fathers becoming expectant. On and on the list would go. How devastating it is to children not to have a father in the home. I've taken the time to lay some groundwork. I want you to listen closely to me. We're going to get on this train. It's going to be a speedy train. But having said all that, I want you to know, fathers, dads, it's time to concede no more ground. It is time to retreat no further. It is time to surrender not another inch. It's time that we get the spirit of Shammah, stand our ground on the home turf and declare, I will defend my family. I will defend the castle of my home. Paul gave this admonition, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, and quit ye like men. Be strong. Hallelujah. Get the Shammah spirit. Too many dads are standing at a wide open front door and allowing the enemy to come in with whatever he wants to come into that home with. But I think it's time that we as men submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, defend our homes and watch the enemy flee from a godly man. Can you say amen? Dads, I think it would be good this morning if we would see our homes as castles and see ourselves as the knight that is committed and set to defend that castle. In our human language, we have a metaphor. We say a man's home is his castle. Most men I know would rather it say this: a man's home is his cave. Right? Women, either you're not listening to me or you're just nervous about saying amen, but you can go. Men want to come home and hold up. Leave me alone. Let me do my thing. I came here to get away. Shut the blinds. But it's not. A man's home is his cave. A man's home is his castle. Now, some men like to hear that. They say, that means I walk through the front door. I sit down in the lazy boy chair and I snap my fingers. Iced tea, please. Hurry! Bring me my slippers. Turn the air conditioner down. I'm king of this house. My every command is to be obeyed. I want you bowing down when I walk through the front door. A lot of people like that part. Try that this afternoon. Just get in your lazy boy and snap your fingers at your wife. You'll find out who the queen of that home is. A man's home is his castle. It doesn't mean so much that. It means it's the place he is going to defend. It's his home turf, and he's not going to give an inch of it. Even though I did it every night, my kids, when they were younger, all of them went through that phase. When you put them to bed at night, they said, "Dad, are the doors locked? Dad, are the doors locked?" They wanted to know they were secure. I believe every child ought to know his home is secure because Dad is the king of his castle, meaning he is going to defend that home, not just from a physical intruder, but from every spiritual intruder. I want you to notice this morning, first of all, the castle is the place to defend. Literally, a castle is a livable place fortified against the attack on its inhabitants. I believe a home should be prepared and fortified against the attack of the enemy of our souls, against Satan. Listen, fathers, we need to rally our defenses and protect our home from the onslaught of Satan. I ask you the questions, Dad, is your home fortified against the enemy of your children? Is your home a place where they're safe? Even the battle with the enemy of our souls is won or lost long before it's fought. I'll tell you how you win against the enemy of your children, your marriage, yourself. Amen. You've already long ago prepared for the defense. You've been praying. You've been reading the word. You've been faithful to church. You're doing that is fortifying your home as a castle against the attack of the enemy. I want to tell you, the attack will come. It certainly will. The question is, dads, are our homes fortified against the attack? Have the principles been taught in your home? Have the prayers been prayed? Has faithfulness been ingrained within your children? Has worship become the holy habit of your home? Has evil been shunned and excised from your home? Hallelujah. How many kings we have here that's going to defend your castle? And let's talk about something else here in defense of our castle. Usually in our mind from medieval times, a castle had a moat. Let's talk about the moat. There we go. There's a big one. There's a big castle and a big moat. Amen. Listen, we could try to define the moat. You can see it here. The moat is the ditch around the castle dug for the defense. But that ditch dug for the defense that's full of water marks the boundary. Marks the boundary of the precincts. Marks the boundary of the perimeters. In other words, the moat is the line that's been drawn around your home. It's the line that's been drawn. Listen, I tell you, fathers, I believe as dad, you need to draw some lines. Hallelujah. Draw some lines. Amen. Draw some lines of what you believe, where you're going to live, and how you're going to live. I've told people this many times. I've said it in my family, raising them. When arguments came up about entertainment or music or this or that or dress, I said, listen, the line's got to be drawn somewhere. I believe that this morning. I believe the line's got to be drawn somewhere. That moat of our defense is the line that we draw. It's a line of demarcation, amen, between where we're going to live and the world's going to live. Even that moat that circles the castle, it said to everyone that approached it, everything belonging on the other side of the moat, belonging on the other side of the line, belongs to this family, and the head of that family is going to defend what's on the other side of the line. Listen, Dad, the moat is where we and our family are going to live on the inside. Amen. It's the beliefs that we have. We'll defend it. It's our commitment to where and how we're going to live and what we believe. I believe it's time that dads draw a line. This may go in that home. That may go in that home. They may live this way, but with no arrogance, but with an eye to the word, we're going to dig a moat. We're going to draw a line, and we're going to live on this side of the line. Hallelujah. And we're not going to let the world encroach upon this home. We're going to draw the line. Hallelujah. How many believes the line needs to be drawn? Not only was there a moat, but and those castles down south, at least in the common legend, amen, we'll see alligators put in the moat. But you're glad we don't have to go through all this to visit one another nowadays. I believe the alligators. You ever seen an alligator? I believe those are the declarations of our belief. You try to swim a moat, you look down there and see those alligators with the teeth, and you'll think twice about it. You say, I don't think I'm going to be swimming that moat. I'll just leave that castle alone. I think the alligators, fathers, in our defense, just like they are the protectors of the castle's boundary, the snapping of their teeth served as a warning to all who would come nigh. I believe the alligators are our public declarations of what we believe. We warn the enemy, amen, that he is not taking the beliefs of our family and that we will fight for them. I believe every dad needs to declare to his family and make a public declaration of what he believes. Every time you declare what you believe, you put another alligator in the moat. I'm talking about things you're convinced of in prayer, convinced of from reading the word. Those are your alligators. When you open your mouth and say to the enemy, this is what we believe in this castle, you better not try to attack, because this is what we believe. Another thing that a castle had was a drawbridge. A drawbridge. In fact, when you think of a castle, this is one of the first things that you think about. What was a drawbridge? Very simply, it was the bridge that was raised to block the entrance to the gate. I believe our homes need a drawbridge. What is a drawbridge? It is a filter. It is a filter. What am I talking about? I believe a family needs some principles whereby it makes vital decisions of what's coming into that home and what's staying out. I believe every dad needs to have a drawbridge on his home. I had someone come to me just last week. It was a good question. They said, Pastor, we've got the internet, but we want to know what a good filter is for the internet. We don't want just everything coming across the data link into our home and onto our computer. We want a filter on the computer. That is a wise decision. That is good, but not just on the computer. We need a filter on our whole house of what we're going to allow in and keep out. It has to do with music. It has to do with what we watch.
watch what we allow into our homes. Dads, do you have the drawbridge there? Do you have a filter? Just some examples, you'll have your own. But long ago, we established in our family, there's certain ratings of movies and things, certain elements that we're not going to watch. There's certain kinds of music we're not going to listen to. Even you may want to watch a little kid's movie, but if it's got witchcraft in it, we're not going to watch that in this home. If it's got a vampire in it, we're not going to read it. Even there's places we don't go, and if it interferes with church, it's not coming in. I'm telling you, the home needs a drawbridge, and dad needs to know how to operate it and raise that filter and say, you're not, you see, every enemy doesn't march like an army against you. Some enemies try to sneak in like a friend. See, the bridge is down to let the friends in. But you had to be aware if you're operating the drawbridge, because you noticed somebody that wasn't a friend, and you raise that drawbridge and said, you're not coming in. How many believes our homes need a filter? A filter that comes from prayer and seeking the Lord. I believe not only does dad need to know how to operate the drawbridge, I think the children need to learn. I know there's different ages for this, but the children need to know the principles dad uses to make the decisions. The children need to learn to operate it for themselves. I was really, one time years ago, very proud of Micah. He went somewhere with a bunch of young people. He called me up. He said, Dad, they're watching something I don't want to watch and be a part of. I left the room, but I had to call and tell you that I don't think this is good for me. I thought, thank God he learned how to operate the drawbridge for himself. We need a filter. Amen. I've had folks say, but I don't believe the way you do. That's fine. That's great. Show me your filter. Amen. Show me from the Bible what you believe that determines what you let into your home and heart and what you keep out. Oh, we need a drawbridge, the principles for making decisions. Another part of the castle, without which you could not have a castle, is the very walls themselves. The walls is the barrier that's in the way. What has to be stormed? It's what stands in the way of the attack. And the thing that makes the walls are the stones. I'm telling you, stones are of solid stuff. But the reason stones make a wall is because they've been put in place and they never move. Day after day, year after year, those stones are there in their place. The wall is the unmovable part that must be stormed, must be attacked. To breach and assail. And without the wall, nothing else would matter. The moat wouldn't matter. The drawbridge wouldn't matter. Even I believe the wall speaks to us, the barrier. It speaks to us of faithfulness and consistency, dependability. I'm telling you, those stones were always there. Dad, I believe we need to be consistent in what we believe. You say you believe this, you've declared it, you believe that, and you have this principle. That's great. But without consistent faithfulness, all the rest is without profit. Amen. I believe fathers need to be faithful. Whatever the case, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, we are unmoved, unchanging, and consistent in our belief. That faithfulness will be a wall that will keep the enemy out. One of our families had a tragedy not long back. It was close to Sunday, and someone asked them, are you going to go ahead and go to church? And they said, yes, sir, we're going to go to church, because that's the way Mom and Dad taught us. And we're not going to let it. I thought, you just got some walls to your castle. That consistency is a wall. And then, when I think of castles and the defense of them, I think of the boiling oil. How many's ever thought about that? How they would get pots of boiling oil and they would pour them from the walls on the attackers. I wouldn't want to be in the front lines of those attackers. How many's ever had burns from hot oil? How'd you like a pot of it poured on you? What a tragic thing. I'm telling you what, boiling oil had to make the enemies of those days think twice about storming the walls. I want to tell you what will keep the enemy or make the enemy think twice from storming the walls of your castle. Boiling oil.
You know what I think boiling oil is in our little analogy today? I think it's the on fire for God passion of a dad of the home. He's not just living it because he was raised that way, but he has a passion for God. I'm telling you, a red hot relationship, a heart that is boiling hot in search of God, in serving God, is boiling oil to the enemy. I'll tell you what, as a defender of my castle, I want to keep my heart hot. And you know what the enemy does when he sees that? He thinks twice of attacking a home when dad has prayed up, when dad's been in the closet of prayer, when dad, his heart is on fire for God. Hallelujah. Now listen, we talked about these people attacking this castle, but if they'd known that oil was cold oil, you don't have to worry about that castle. They put their oil on ice. Who is going to be fearful of oil that's cold? I'm telling you, the enemy's not fearful of cold-hearted fathers either. It's those that got their hearts on fire. What about dad? You want to have boiling oil hearts for God. And then there's those arrows they used. I mean, they got up on the walls and they shot down upon the attacker arrows. I believe that arrows are the scriptures that can be directed at any attack of Satan. You know, it doesn't matter how Satan attacks us. I believe there are scriptures to address that attack. I believe men of God, fathers, ought to be astute in the Word of God, not just for themselves, but for their family. I believe the Word of God needs to be used when the enemy's attacking. How many knows this is a great weapon? It's an arrow. The words are like arrow. You can call it a sword, whatever you want to call it. But this is a wonderful weapon against the enemy, Brother Wilson. Amen. Dads, we need to read it. We need to memorize it. We need to teach it to our children. And our children should memorize it, study it, and read it. Thank God when the enemy comes, we don't have to run. Amen. We can stand against him with the Word of God. Last of all, other things could be mentioned, but what about the castle? You can have the walls, you can have the drawbridge, you can heap the oil up, but there was one necessary thing you wouldn't think of that was all important, without which nothing else mattered. And that is, that castle had to have a water source. Can't fight if you're thirsting to death. Can't keep defending that castle if you're out of hydration. And every castle had to have a good water source. I believe the water source speaks to us men and dads of prayer. Water is the refresher. Water is the source of vitality. And I believe that only way that is obtained by a man or a woman of God is through prayer. Amen. We can have beliefs. We can have principles. We can talk about what we're going to let in or not let in. We can even quote scripture. But unless we've been to the well of prayer, amen, prayed until our souls are refreshed, amen, we will not be able to defend that castle. I've mentioned it several times, many times, perhaps on Father's Day, but one of the greatest examples is in my life is my father that had to drive 35 miles one way to work, get up real early to do it. But I'll never forget him getting up 4:30. If I had to get up as a young boy to use the restroom during that time, I'd look in there. He'd be in there knelt down praying, or he'd be sitting there reading his Bible. Amen. He wasn't a preacher. Amen. He was just a good church member. But Brother Wilson, I've never got away from that example. Amen. Not only is an example, Father, it's vital if we want to be the men of God in our families, if we want to defend our homes, we have to visit, or we get to visit, the well of prayer. It's praying that brings the living water to our soul and strengthens us. He meant to defend our castle. Would you come, music? Someone must dig the moats. Someone must draw up the bridge. Someone must direct the arrows and the boiling oil. And that role is dad's. I want to be that kind of dad, the defender. I said that quick. Was it caught? Amen. Let's come, music. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you come? Some of you are in to conceal and carry. I don't want to know how many, but some of you are into conceal and carry. How many that's in conceal and carry know about the castle doctrine? You passed your test and didn't know that? Okay, there we go. Just a little reluctant there. The castle doctrine says a person does not have a duty to retreat from the residence that they lawfully occupy before using force and self-defense of themselves or defense of another. I don't hardly like the negative way. They don't have a duty not to retreat before they seek to defend. I want to read to you the Shammah castle doctrine. A father has the duty not to retreat in the defense of his home, but to use all spiritual force necessary to defend his family. How many believe, fathers, we have a duty not to retreat, but to stand and to defend our homes? Now, however it stands this morning with this sermon, I want you to know something. America's family is under open, immediate, all-out attack. And the government can't do anything about it. And the politician can't do anything about it. And the schools can't do anything about it. And an economic upturn can't do anything about it. The only thing that's going to make a difference in the attack of the family is for men to say, I'm going to be a man of God, and I'm going to defend my marriage, my home, my children, my family. I want to defend my castle. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just visit the well for a moment. Amen. Would you lift your hearts and hands? Say, oh God, I pray for your refreshing. I pray for your renewing. I pray for your help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Men, I want you to hear something. The Bible said when Shammah stood there and refused to give ground and made up his mind he was going to defend that patch of beans, it said the Lord wrought a great victory. In other words, the Lord got involved. If you will steel yourself to be the defender of your castle, if you'll commit yourself to the defense of your home, I'm telling you, God's going to get involved. He's going to help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want every dad, if you would, and you're so gracious to respond, and I don't want this just to be a ritual. I want it to be a time of refreshing and renewing. But you're here as a dad, and you say, I commit myself anew today to the defense of my castle, to the defense of my home, my marriage, my children, my family. If you're here as a dad and you'll commit yourself to the defense of your castle, would you come and stand? Amen. Stand across the front, move in close. I want your families to come here in a moment. Amen. You say, I commit myself to the defense. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to yield an inch. Amen. They may say the family's outdated and outmoded, but I am going to defend my family. If you can go ahead, stretched out into the wings there. Amen. Make room. Hallelujah. Some of you can come up on the platform if you wish, if you need more room. How about it, wife? What about it, children? Do you see the father here? Would you come to the father, families, your earthly father, the father of your children? Would you come to the father? Hallelujah. Would you stand behind them and say, oh God, help the defender of our home. God, strengthen the defender of our home. God, be with the defender of our home. Amen. Get in as close as you can. Let's join together in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Find your man and say, oh God, help the defender of my home. Oh God, help him to have the filter in place. Help him to have the oil boiling hot. Oh God, help him to have the word of God sharp and ready to use. Would you pray for your man? Say, oh God, strengthen him. Encourage him. Encourage my husband. Encourage my dad. Strengthen my husband. Strengthen my dad. It's not a time to fight against your father. It's not a time to be on a different page than your husband. Amen. It's time to support the dad of the home and say, I'm behind you as you stand and refuse to yield ground. You refuse to give up the faith. You refuse to let go of God's word. I'm behind you. I'm standing there, dad. I'm standing there, husband. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. Oh, let's pray, church. Just go ahead and pray for dad. Go ahead and pray for husband. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.